After you, Craig.
No, no, after you. No,
no,
please.
I insist after you.
After you.
Oh, thank you.
Hello, and welcome to another episode of...
Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
My name's Craig.
And my name's Reza.
And together with over 40 years of teaching experience between us, we're going to help you improve your English and take it to the next level. We'll grow your grammar, vocalize your vocabulary, and help you perfect your pronunciation. Reza, what are we going to speak about this week?
In this week's episode, that's 129, we're going to talk about time clauses and time expressions. But first, we've got a little bit of feedback from...
Yes, we got an email from our friend Rafael Alba García, who sent us a lovely email, and I'm just going to read a part of it. Rafael says, I've just listened to the new podcast, and I found it very interesting with these 9 words in Spanish. And Rafael is speaking about episode 127, in which we spoke about 9 words that really we need to have a better translation in English. And Rafael continues in Spanish, muy bien descritas esas nuevas palabras, pero con la excepción de ya, en mi opinión, Reza no ha estado de todo exacto. Porque cuando en español se hace una pregunta, por ejemplo, ¿quieres un vaso de agua? O, ¿tú eres Craig? Los españoles no solemos contestar ya. Y tiene razón, porque normalmente con estas preguntas decimos sí. Otra cosa, dice Rafael, es yo, que digo yo, ¿tú eres Craig? Como una afirmación, entonces Craig puede contestar ya. Ya lo sé, ya lo sé que soy Craig. Entonces, damos la razón a Rafael. Muy bien, y gracias para decirnos este pequeño detalle. Reza, do you have any comments for Rafael?
No, yeah.
Ah, yeah. Yeah. We also received some audio feedback from Ivan from Valencia. And for this reason, we've decided to speak about time clauses and time expressions on this week's episode. So here's Ivan's feedback.
Hi, Grace and Reza. It's Ivan from Valencia. I'm actually studying English in order to prepare my C1 exam. And I'd like to thank you for all your great work and all your help you've given us to all of the people that are actually studying English. And for example, like me, that I'm currently getting ready for my C1 level. And I've got to say that you've become my daily trip to my work really funny, because I'm hanging out listening to you every day, and it's really helpful for me. Well, I'd like to suggest you to point one question in your next podcast, just to talk about the time clauses, because I find them a bit embarrassing, because I don't find out the meaning of them, and I get messed very often with this subject. Well, it's all. So thanks a lot for your help, and keep continuing doing your great podcast. Bye.
So thank you, Ivan, for your voice message. Just one thing I'd like to stress, and that's the pronunciation of the verb study. The vowel sound is a, the same as up. So a study. I'm studying. Reza, any comments on Ivan's message?
Yes, I noticed, Ivan, you also said that you were looking for something and you said you don't find it. That's a typical Spanish mistake. You should say that you can't find it. Que no lo encuentro in English is I can't find it. You have to add the word can. But apart from that, your message is very clear.
And Ivan, we did speak about time clauses with the present perfect back in episode 18. So to go there, go to inglespodcast.com/18. And specifically in that episode, we spoke about the time expressions still, already, just, yet, so far, those that are often used with the present perfect, and also with the past simple, words like ago, last week, last month, yesterday, in 2006, those kind of expressions. So let's look at some more expressions that are often used, particularly with tenses or with clauses. For example, after. I made coffee after Reza arrived, which is después, isn't it, Reza, in Spanish?
Yes, after is después. You could also say, after Reza arrived, I made coffee. So you can change the order.
Another example, I'll have a shower after you. Or, what are you doing after we finish recording? What are we doing? What are you doing after we finish recording? Are you doing anything after?
I'm going to have a siesta.
After we finish recording, Reza is going to have a siesta. So that's one example with after, but there are more uses of after. There are more ways that we can use after. For example, day after day, día tras día. Can you think of an example, Reza, with day after day?
Yes. What are the same mistakes you keep correcting in your classes day after day, Craig?
That's a good question. Day after day, I'm correcting the third person S, like he sleeps. What did I correct this morning? Typical mistake. Collocations with make and do, like make a mistake, do your homework, make tea, do your best, do research, those kind of collocations. What about you? What are you correcting day after day?
Third person singular S, like you, present simple confused with present continuous, or going to confused with will, or modal verbs. Can and could confused with may and might and should and must. Those are classics.
Yeah, and my students make these mistakes one after the other, which is another expression with after, uno tras otro, one after the other. For example, chocolates. I love chocolates. I can't stop eating chocolates. Once I start, I eat them one after the other, continually.
Craig, do you ever get any problems with students not handing in homework?
Yes, frequently. Yeah, and they give me excuses. One excuse after another, constant excuses. Excusas y más excusas. In English, you can say one excuse after another.
After you. After you.
Oh, right.
Sorry, after you.
I get it. I was a bit slow there.
I did it on purpose.
Yeah.
After you.
I thought, what's he doing? What's he doing? He's sabotaging the podcast.
After you, Craig.
No, after you. No, please.
I insist after you.
After you.
Oh, thank you.
Well, age before beauty.
We just wanted to talk about the expression after you.
After you.
When you want another person or you offer another person the chance to go before you.
Usted primero.
Like it could be like just now when Craig and I both were going to speak at the same time, or maybe when you're entering a door and you open the door and say to that person, after you.
Pase usted. Moving on to another use of after. After can also be used in the sense of behind. For example, close the door after you. Cierra la puerta al salir o cuando salgas. Close the door after you. Or I'm tired of clearing up after you. Estoy cansado de ir detrás de ti limpiando todo. I'm tired of clearing up after you. Can you think of any other uses for after, Reza?
Yes, there's the expression after, meaning looking for. For example, she's after a husband means she's looking for a husband. Va en posto marido. Or they're all after the same thing. Todos van a por lo mismo. They're all after. They're all looking for is the meaning of after there.
Or if I said, what's he after? What's he after? ¿Qué pretende? What's he looking for? I see what you're after. How would you say that in Spanish? I see what you're after.
I would just say one word. Ya.
Ya. Ya caigo. Yeah, exactly. Another possible meaning of after could be in view of or después de. For example, after all I've done for you. Después de todo lo que he hecho por ti. After all I've done, which is similar to after everything I've done. Or he can't go back after what he's done. He can't go back after what he's done. So after can be used for all of these possibilities. Let's look at before.
So we're doing before, after, after. Sorry, I couldn't resist it.
After, after, we'll do before. Before. Or should we do before?
No, not before, but okay. After.
We'll do it after.
Okay, so now it's time for before. We had Craig and I had lunch before we started recording. It's about 4 o'clock now, 5 o'clock. We had quite a late lunch, but we had it before at about 3 o'clock, 3:30. Mm-hmm. We taught classes before we had lunch. It's true. We taught classes before we had lunch. Before we go on, can we just wait for a minute? Oh, that's better. I've just readjusted my mic. Don't I sound better?
You sound better after you've done it.
Oh, thank you.
You sound a lot better. So, yeah, we taught classes before we had lunch. There are different uses of before. For example, before can mean anteriormente. Have you been here before? ¿Habías estado aquí anteriormente? Have you done this before? Have you seen this before? What other meanings can before have?
If I said to you, I would die before I would criticize her, what does that mean?
Morir antes de criticarla.
It's the meaning of rather than.
Yeah.
I would rather die than criticize her.
It could also mean in front of. For example, he stood before the crowd and raised his arms. Or I stood before my students and made a fool of myself, which often happens. I stand before my class and I do a silly thing. So you stand before people, which means in front of them.
Craig, what if I said to you, she has her whole career before her?
Ella tiene toda una carrera por delante. So that meaning is por delante. You have all of your life in front of you. All of your life before you. Another meaning is antes que. Personally, I'd eat pizza before caviar or truffles. What about you? Would you eat pizza before good food?
Who's paying? You or me? If you're paying, I'll have the caviar and truffles.
Imagine there's no cost involved. Would you eat, for example, I would eat chocolate before any food.
Ah.
If I could eat chocolate in place of dinner, then I would eat chocolate before dinner. So that's not before in time, in tiempo. That's before means I prefer it.
Your choice.
Yeah. I'd choose it before. I'd prefer to eat chocolate before anything else.
Mm-hmm. For me, a little bit of a mixture. I wouldn't want to eat caviar and truffles every day, you know, but I wouldn't want to eat pizza every day either. So it depends.
Mm-hmm. Another meaning is ante. For example, they performed an open air concert before a huge audience. Dieron un concierto al aire libre ante un numeroso público.
What about the word when, Craig?
Cuando.
Cuando. It's this famous song, isn't it?
When. I was making coffee when Reza arrived. Now, that means at the same time, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. At the same time that you arrived, I was making coffee.
Which action started first?
The action of making coffee, which is why it's in present continuous. The classic example from your course book could possibly be, I was having a shower when the telephone rang. So the short action happened in the middle of the longer one, which is past continuous. While is similar to when, isn't it? While is mientras. What's the difference between when and while?
Well, let's take as an example this sentence. I was making coffee while Reza was testing the microphone. Now here, both verbs are past continuous. I was making and I was testing, because they're happening at the same time, and it's not one action interrupting or happening in the middle of another, but it's to stress the fact that they happen simultaneously. That's more the use of while.
So they were happening in parallel to each other.
Exactly.
And they're both continuous actions. Can you think of another example with while?
I can. But in this sentence, while equals when. While I was living in Salamanca, I met Patricia. There, I could say when I was living in Salamanca, I met Patricia. So while can equal when. But we can't substitute the other way around. In my sentence, I was making coffee while Reza was testing the microphone. I cannot say I was making coffee when Reza. No. Nuh-uh. Mm-hmm. If you're talking about two actions happening in parallel, it must be while. However, if you're talking about one action, one longer action being interrupted, or a shorter action happening in the middle of it, you can use when or while for that.
So if I say, for example, I was living in London with my parents while I was doing the teaching course, both things are happening at the same time.
Yeah.
By the time is another common time expression that we haven't practiced yet. What do you hope to have done by the time you've retired? So this is using the future perfect. We're looking into the future. We're speaking about a time up to a point in the future, the point I retire. And by the time, if you agree, Reza, is any time up to and including that time. So again, what do you hope to have done by the time you've retired?
I hope to have recorded 10,000 podcasts.
10,000?
What about you?
I hope to have perfected the sound on the podcast, because at the moment I've changed the microphone, so I don't like this at all. Please tell me if you like the sound on the microphone. Reza sounds fantastic. I sound terrible. I keep playing with the settings, and I hope by the time we've recorded 10,000 episodes, I hope to have perfected the way that we sound. Another example, by the time we get to the station, the train will have gone. Imagine we're late, we're rushing, time's passing, and there's a lot of traffic. And you say, by the time we get there, by the time we get to the station, the train will have gone, or will have already left by the time. Any other expressions we could mention?
Yeah, we've got as soon as, which is tan pronto como, like, I will pay for your ticket as soon as you make the reservation. Tan pronto como hagan la reserva, pagaré la factura.
Another example, as soon as this podcast is published, it goes to iTunes and all the other podcast applications. So it's at the same time, as soon as this podcast is published, it automatically goes everywhere so you can listen to it. Another expression with as soon as that's very common, as soon as possible, lo antes posible, very often abbreviated to ASAP, also in spoken English, in spoken and written English. So if you say I'll do the project ASAP, that means I'll do it as soon as possible. Can you think of another example with as soon as possible?
Not yet, but I'll let you know as soon as possible.
Okay. As soon as you think of them, let me know. I'll let you know as soon as possible.
Can I just say something for you, Dave?
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, as Craig promised, he did sort out our technical problem. Can you hear that the quality of the audio has improved a little bit? We hope you can. Just in time for Craig to tell you about our important sponsors.
We'd like to tell you about our sponsor, iTalki, especially if you're about to take, or going to take very, very soon, your CAE, FCE, or CPE speaking exam. because some of my students have been asking me how they can practice their fluency, how they can improve their speaking before the exam. We've mentioned on previous podcasts, you can speak with your classmates, you can go to language exchanges in your area, quizzes, pubs sometimes have special English evenings. But if you don't have that possibility in your area, you can connect to italki through their website and speak with a one-to-one teacher to improve your fluency. You'll be speaking with a native speaker. You can choose if the speaker has a Scottish accent or an English accent or an American accent. And it's very convenient because you can practice with that teacher when you have free time. If you're interested, italki are offering 100 free credits if you sign up through our website. And if you want more information, go to inglespodcast.com/italki. And Reza and I would like to thank italki for sponsoring Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig. Also, speaking about fluency, once a week, we've started to do meetings on the internet for about 40, 45 minutes where you can speak with me and a group of Spanish students for free about a conversation topic. Recently, we've been speaking about astrology, astronomy, politics, all different subjects. So if you want more information of that, sign up to our newsletter and I'll send you details about how to connect. And the sign up is on inglespodcast.com. In the end.
Yes, I've discovered that Craig is a clairvoyant. I didn't realize that because we have a few notes written before us, in front of us. To read, not a lot. You know, Craig and I, we're quite spontaneous. We make up a lot of what we say as we go along. So we partially script what we're going to say. And Craig has written the following. In the end, we had some technical problems with the podcast today, but we recorded all of it in the end. How did you know that, Craig? You wrote that before it happened, and it has happened. We did have some technical problems, but in the end, it was okay. How did you know it was going to happen?
It was purely by chance. It was purely by chance. I just used that as an example. But in the end, in the end, we did have technical problems, but in the end, we solved them. So it's just a coincidence, just a pure coincidence.
You're not a clairvoyant, are you? Someone who reads the future?
I don't have any crystal balls.
Okay.
What's the difference? What's the difference between in the end and at the end? That's very confusing, isn't it, for Spanish speakers?
The difference can be a mark extra in a proficiency speaking exam. That can be the difference.
Really?
It's quite a subtle difference, but there is a difference. In the end is, we had some technical problems with the podcast today, but we recorded all of it in the end. That's what eventually happened. Now, at the end simply means in the last bit or the last stage or the last part. For example, what happened at the end of the film? So in the last part of the film. Or the toilet is at the end of the hall, the last bit of the hall. For me, it just means the last part, the last segment, the last section. Mm-hmm. No, that's at the end.
At the final stages of something or at the point where something finishes. It's confusing because you could translate at the end as al final and in the end al final. So both could have the same translation in Spanish.
Yeah. But only in the end translates as al fin y al cabo.
Right.
At the end doesn't translate as that. Mm-hmm. Because in the end has the specific meaning of after a lot of problems or changes or complications or modifications, then in the end, eventually something happened. At doesn't give that meaning.
If you want to send us an email, we'll give you our email addresses at the end of the podcast.
The final section.
Before it finishes. At last, al fin or por fin, we managed to meet this week, Reza. at last. It was difficult, wasn't it? We wanted to meet during the week. You're very busy. I was very busy. It was difficult to arrange a time. Today's Saturday. At the end of the week, at last, we managed to meet.
We could say, in the end, we managed to meet. At last is quite similar to in the end.
Finally. Another confusing word for Spanish speakers is during, durante. Because many of my students confuse during with in.
Or for as well.
Or for, exactly. Yeah. So during. Do you know, Reza, how many times I have hit the pause button during this podcast?
I don't know exactly, but quite a lot because of these technical problems we've been having today.
So I had to stop recording several times during the podcast, durante, during the podcast.
Why not four? If I say to you, I've been living in Valencia durante 15 años, that's 15 years. Why not during?
Well, that would mean with using for with present perfect is from a point in the past until now.
Right. Yeah, that's for me, that's one reason. That's a good reason. For tends to go with periods of time in the present perfect. Also, I would say there's a difference in meaning, apart from the grammar difference, that during collocates goes with events or periods like during the war, during my childhood, during the revolution.
During the lesson.
During the lesson. During events or periods or movements, you know. But for is more for a measured time, right? Mm-hmm. For a year, for a long time, for ages.
Ever. E-V-E-R. Alguna vez. And never. Nunca. Are sometimes confused. Have you ever been to Florence?
Have you?
No, I haven't. Have you?
No.
Never.
So Craig's never been to Florence and I've never been to Florence.
So never is a negative, but with the question you use ever. Have you ever been? Have you ever eaten? Have you ever seen? Have you ever done? So that's the main difference between ever and never, isn't it? Ever, you'd use with the question, with the present perfect. Have you ever been there? And never is a negative. You can use ever with a negative answer. But then you have to use the negative with a verb. So I haven't ever been to Florence.
Right. Is the same as I've never been to Florence.
Exactly.
Okay. I haven't ever equals I have never.
Have you ever eaten crocodile meat?
I've never eaten crocodile meat.
So Reza has never eaten crocodile meat or Reza hasn't ever eaten crocodile meat.
Craig, some people might be asking, is this particular episode ever going to end? What would you answer?
At last, we've reached the end of the podcast. And now it's your turn to practice your English. Do you have a question for us or an idea, perhaps, for a future episode? Send us a voice message and tell us what you think. I want to thank you for all your wonderful voice messages that we've been receiving these last 2 or 3 weeks. We love to hear your voices, so please keep sending them, recording your voices and practicing your English. You can do this at speakpipe.com. That's SPEAKPIPE, speakpipe.com/Ingles podcast.
Or you could send us an email. You could email me at belfastreza@gmail.com.
Or send me an email at Craig, that's C-R-A-I-G, at inglespodcast.com. And if you'd like more detailed show notes, you can go to patreon.com/inglespodcast and become one of our lovely sponsors. Sponsoring us at the moment, we are very, very thankful to Lara, Carlos, Sara Mamin, Juan Sara Jarabo, Corey Finneran, my mate Corey, Manuel, Jorge, Raul, Rafael, Daniel, and Manuel. Thank you very much, all of you.
And we know what you're thinking, those people in the list. You're thinking, are we ever going to publish the complete show notes? Yes, we will, in the end, when we finally, at last, have enough money, but we haven't collected enough money yet.
On next week's episode, we're going to speak about marketing and market research, one of my favorite subjects and not necessarily one of Reza's. So next episode could be really interesting.
Craig put a positive spin on that, to say the least.
And in the following episode, in episode 131, we're going to speak about ghosts and the supernatural, which is from a request we received from a listener. So if you have any ghost stories, any supernatural experiences you've had and you want to share with us, please send us your voice messages on SpeakPipe. For example, we had a lovely message from Jose's vampire story, which was back in episode 96.
Oh, that's going to be hard to beat. That was a really good story,
wasn't it? So to get an example of what you should be aiming at, go and listen to Jose, englespodcast.com/96. And in 2 weeks' time, we'll be speaking about ghosts and the supernatural. Until then, it's goodbye from Reza.
And it's bye-bye from Craig.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.